is a short talk on book distribution. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ya idam paramanguyam mad bhaktesh bhavadashati bhakti mayi param kridva mame vaishatya samshaya echa tasman manusheshu kaschime priyakritamaha bhavitana chame anya anya na ba echa tasman manusheshu echa tasman manusheshu. What's the next word? Just said it. Echa tasman manusheshu echa tasman manusheshu kaschid bhavitime. Yeah, you have a Bhagavad Gita. The chat has man manusheshu kaschid. Kaschid. What's the next word? Kaschid what? The chat has man manusheshu kaschid me bhavita priya? No. Chatasman manusheshu kaschine priya kritamaha bhavita chatamai chametasmad anyat priya tro bhuvi. That for one who preaches this message to my devotee, devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he'll come back to me. In this world, there is no one more dear to me than he, nor will there be any more dear in the future. Ya idam paramanguyam mad bhaktesh bhavadashiti bhakti mayi puram kritva mame vaishatya samshayaha echa tasmad manusheshu tasmad manusheshu kaschid yes kaschid bhavati me priya kritaha echa tasmad manusheshu kaschid bhavati me kritaha bhavita meta is mad anyak priyatro bhuvi. Kaschid me priya kritamaha. Kritama means more dear. Kaschid me priya kritamaha bhavita chatame tasmo tasmad anyak priyataro bhuvi. So if we want to become dear to Krishna, then we have to do something for Krishna. And to do that something for Krishna, we should do what Krishna wants us to do. So it should be obvious to anyone who's a devotee of Krishna, Krishna did not come to the material world on vacation. It's not that he takes 2 weeks every year from Goloka Vrindavan to visit the material world because he heard the weather is nice here. No, he comes here specifically to enlighten the fallen conditioned souls so that they can understand that they're actually not supposed to be desiring to lord it over the material nature. Living entities entangled and the material energy due to his attachment to material desires. And one is attached to material desires because one has a material concept of life. If there is no material concept of life, even if material desires are present, the soul will not become attached to them. Any more when we understand that we're not a hog, if we get the food of a hog presented to us, namely stool, most people don't become very much attached to that meal because there's a different concept of life. Similarly, if one is in the concept of life, not just theoretically, but practically, that one is Krishna's eternal servant, loving servant, then when the material desires may enter into the mind, one will not become bewildered by them. What verse is that? Second chapter, verse number 70. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti advat tadvat kama pravishanti sarve se shantim apnoti nakama kami. A person is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is always being filled but is always still. He can alone attain peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So we're in the material world because we have a material conception of life. That is, that's our mood, that's our intelligence, that's our experience, all related to the body. But when we develop a spiritual concept of life, beginning with hearing, because if we hear who we actually are, then to that extent, even to a small extent, our attachment to the material world gradually diminishes. Attachment to the material concept of life, attachment to the results of our work, attachment to material sense objects, these things are gradually diminished by the process of hearing. And if one is fortunate enough to come into the association of devotees and to learn how to apply what we've heard in a practical way and to assimilate the knowledge, then gradually one not only is one's material concept of life diminishes, but one's spiritual consciousness of life increases. Therefore, what is stressed is that we're supposed to distributing transcendental knowledge. Of course, we may not have very much transcendental knowledge to distribute. If we go out and tell people that they're not their body, most people would not be very much interested in our philosophy of the difference between ourself and the body. And even if they were interested, we may not be so interested to repeat again and again that the body's changing, but we're not changing. Although it should enlighten us, we should be, our seekers should be standing on end, hearing that philosophy. But because we don't take it very seriously, therefore it'll be very hard to get anyone else to take it seriously. But to speak of teaching people that a blue boy in a faraway planet who's herding cows all day eternally, and he likes to eat, he steals butter and gives it to the monkeys, he's God. Most people will think, well, yes, they're Hare Krishna, as we can understand. They smile a lot and they dress up in bed sheets. No wonder they think a blue cowherd boy who herds cows for his occupation is God. No, so most people will not take us very seriously, and we ourselves may not take ourselves so seriously either. But in these transcendental literatures, Prabhupada is actually systematically explaining to people how they can understand the difference between their body and their real selves, and at the same time gradually become conscious of Krishna by the process of hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. Therefore, if we have some appreciation for the value of the books, and within the books it explains that everyone is actually Krishna's servant. It's not that there's a few Hare Krishnas in the world because they had nothing better to do, so they became Hare Krishnas. They were trying to become psychiatrists or lawyers or doctors, but they couldn't do it, so they became Hare Krishnas. No, everyone is actually a Hare Krishna by nature. Some people understand that they're actually Krishna's servants, and some people are an illusion, thinking that they're doctors or lawyers or something else. But factually, everyone by nature is Krishna's devotee. It is simply a question of becoming conscious of Krishna. Just like for one who's looking for happiness, if he dives into an ocean of happiness, then he gets what he's actually looking for. So Krishna is the ocean of happiness, And people are looking for the ocean of happiness, and these books present Krishna. So, we're supposed to go out and distribute them. Of course, the idea is sometimes the devotees, they ask, oh, we've distributed so many books, and so few devotees. But actually, we're not distributing the books only to convince people to become devotees, but we're doing it so people can engage, and we can engage, in acts of devotion. In other words, ordinarily, most people on the street will not stop and chant Hare Krishna, although some people may hear the holy names. And rarely people even get the opportunity to eat prasadam that attracts them enough to want to eat more prasadam. Sometimes people go to our restaurants, if we have them in some places, and they become fortunate enough to become attracted by prasadam, which gradually leads them to become attracted to take one of the books and maybe read it. So this is one opportunity for most people to actually engage in some activity of devotion. By, especially if they can take a book and give a donation, and if that donation is used in Krishna service, then people get some credit for doing some devotional activity. And the advantage of that is that they'll get another human form of life. Even if they hear the holy name, it is doubtful that they'll listen very attentively or even very favorably. And even if they get some prasadam, Prabhupada said, unless they understand that it's actually Krishna's prasad, unless they understand its relation to Krishna, there's no guarantee they'll get a human form of life. And without getting a human form of life, it takes a long, long time to get another opportunity to make advancement to going back to Krishna Loka, or even to Vaikuntha. Therefore, these books are, this book distribution, Prabhupada emphasized them, especially in the Western world, above everything else, because it's practically people's only opportunity to engage in some activity of devotion. Of course, whether we distribute the book or not, everything depends upon our consciousness, whether our activities are that of devotion or something else. It is not the number of books that count, but how much we're trying to become Krishna conscious. In other words, the ultimate technique in book distribution is to rely upon Krishna to distribute the book. We're just trying to pray to Krishna, become dependent upon him. Or as Krishna says, Maya Vesha Manoyemam. Actually, Mayeva Man Adatsva Mayi Budim Niveshaya. Atta Orvam Nisamshaya. We have some scholars here. Just fix your mind upon me and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you'll live with me always without any doubt. So that's the best consciousness we can be in. Anyone here in that consciousness? Asakti. Ma Maya Saktamanak Parata. The state of asakti, where even one forgets Krishna for a moment, the mind is so hungry after Krishna that immediately remembers Krishna again. Most of us, on the other hand, even when we remember Krishna for a moment, the mind drags us away from Krishna. Oh, what are you doing thinking about Krishna? There's so many other things to think about. But at the state of asakti, one can forget Krishna. Or even if one forgets Krishna for a moment, immediately one remembers Krishna again. But if we can, if we're not on that platform, atta chitam samadhatum nisakshno simayistiram abhyasena yogena tato mamit shantum naranjaya. If you cannot think about me without deviation, then engage yourself in the regular principles of devotional service, and this way try to develop the desire to obtain me. So normally, even we try to develop the desire to attain Krishna, we're not usually very successful because there's so many distractions. But on the other hand, when we're preaching, we have no choice but to rely upon Krishna. Because, especially in book distribution, the vast majority of people didn't come to the street looking for a book on spiritual philosophy. So to convince someone who came out for some other purpose, because generally when people go somewhere, they go for some purpose, and it's very hard to distract them from that purpose. So to have the transcendental potency to change people's purposes from simply mundane objective to taking some transcendental literature requires a great deal of spiritual energy. And that spiritual energy is bestowed upon the living entity because that's what he wants from Krishna. Otherwise, generally Krishna is bestowing Maya Shakti. People are out there to attract someone, get their money or for sense gratification, and Krishna is empowering them for that, to become selling something or attracting people to them. That's what people are mostly interested in. People are shopping to buy something for their sense gratification, or they're selling something in the store for the sense gratification. But we have to pray to Krishna, we have to develop a desire so that we become an instrument and attract people to take one of these books. Nothing more than that. Of course, if we're attractive, and how to be attractive, we have to be utsaha nischai darya. What is attractive in this world, ultimately, is enthusiasm. People are not attracted to dead bodies. If you go out in the street and pretend you're a dead body, most people will not be attracted to you. Oh, look at that beautiful dead body. I wonder what he has to give me. No, they're attracted by something, enthusiasm. Just like Srimati Radharani, if it's time to meet Krishna, she doesn't hesitate. Oh, it's time to meet Krishna. I saw him 2 times this week. I don't really... May I just call in sick. Tell him I'll see him tomorrow. No. The epitome of enthusiasm is Srimati Radharani's trying to meet Krishna. That's the whole spiritual universe, is all revolving around the anxiety, the enthusiasm of Srimati Radharani to meet Krishna, and Krishna's enthusiasm to meet Srimati Radharani. So if we're enthusiastic to distribute the books, then obviously Krishna will send someone to take the book. And if we're wondering why we're out on the street and looking at our clock or our watch, wondering when we'll be free from this inconvenience of saving conditioned souls. Anyhow, they deserve to be conditioned. Why should I bother? They want to be conditioned. No, we're enthusiastic to save the conditioned soul. Then Krishna will arrange for another soul who will be enthusiastic to take one of the books. So it is not that we have to create a soul like Vishwamrita Muni to come and take the book. Krishna will send the souls according to our desire. And if we want to fight with someone on the street, Krishna will send someone to fight with us. Whatever we want, then Krishna will reciprocate, especially if we're engaged in his service. So how to develop the desire? Simply one has to try to be enthusiastic and try and distribute the book. Or be in association of devotees who are distributing books. I remember if you had distributing, you know, 100, one time I distributed 140 books. I think it was 2 at a time. Big books. 2 at a time, of course. But there was no question of whether you thought anyone was going to take a book or not, because everyone was taking a book. So you just handed out 2 books at a time. I was so tired at the end because I was doing that for a month during one marathon. I got so tired at the end, I just handed the 2 books and people would just open the wall and give me a donation. I hardly said anything because I was too tired to say anything. But I remember the mood was such is that you're supposed to, not that everyone took two books, but anyone who stopped usually took two books and gave a donation without saying very much. I remember one time I was testing out an airport in San Antonio. It was illegal, and I was so intense that literally I just stop people and give them a book, and they just look at me and open their wallet and give a donation. Of course, it didn't last the whole time, but it just showed if you, when it was determined enough, enthusiastic enough, then it's not a big difficulty distributing books because Krishna sends exactly those souls who are supposed to get the book. And if one is fearful, doubtful, what am I doing here? These people are all deserve to go to hell because they don't appreciate me, and that's the worst offense possible. Then if one is in that mood, then people will reciprocate. And it simply, one has to watch one's own consciousness and then try and change it by praying to Krishna or trying to be enthusiastic. Or if one has a little experience, one can try many different things. But ultimately, it just depends upon praying to Krishna, being conscious of Krishna, and being desirous to help in Krishna's mission. Sometimes even that desire may come about just by envy. When I was distributing with the top book distributors in the world at that time, their names were Tripurari and another devotee named Pragosh, and also Vaishasika was there. So there was always a competition who would win. I mean, somehow or another, that was our whole meditation. I don't know if we were saving conditioned souls or trying to win, but so someone would, if I distributed a few books, and one of the devotees would come up and ask how much Lakshmi I'd collected, and then they'd go out trying to collect. No one wanted to come back the loser, especially the great Maharathis. So distributing with the devotees, if I saw someone distribute a book, I feel this envy surge into my heart. Why should he be distributing more than I can? And with that intense desire to distribute a book, someone would just stop and take a book. So it wasn't a pure desire, I must say, always. But there was similarly a desire to distribute a book. And Krishna would reciprocate just the desire, whether it was pure or not, so we distribute a book. Of course, distributing books is such that one does become a little purified by doing it. Because at least one becomes realized that actually Krishna does reciprocate with our desires. It's not just like we are a great salesman, we have all this potency. So many years, we go out there, we think, oh, now I finally got the right technique. We have so many lines that we learn, techniques of how to do all kinds of things. Some of them were purely Krishna conscious, and some of them were just sales techniques. Some of them, anyhow, they were not pretty. We don't train people up in those techniques anymore. But anyhow, so many techniques. But they usually wouldn't work unless you were Krishna conscious. As soon as one becomes puffed up and think, now I'm in control, now I've learned how to the psychology of the conditioned soul, I have my lines down, I say this, they say that, I say that, they say this, and then they give a donation. It doesn't work without Krishna consciousness. In other words, if one thinks he's in control, he's wrong. By Krishna's potency, sometimes it appears like that one is actually empowered and is actually controlling the situation. And then generally Krishna takes away that controlling, that ability to control others, and one finds himself back in one's materialistic consciousness, frustrated trying to distribute a book. So the real technique ultimately is to rely upon Krishna and not to think that we're the controllers or that we're here for our own personal enjoyment. We're actually trying to do something in Krishna's service. It's not that if I distribute one book that my day was a failure. If that person took the book home, read it, and went back to Godhead, then certainly it wasn't a failure. Krishna doesn't think, oh, you only saved one soul today. Now, how many days we spend, we don't distribute any books. So we can spend one day and we save one soul. If that soul goes back to Godhead, we'll go back to Godhead with that soul too. So it was certainly a worthwhile day. It was certainly worthwhile going out and distributing even one book. And if we think, I distributed 100 books, I've become a great hero, I should get all the Mahaprasadam today because I'm a great soul. I'll put my feet out when I go to the temple and everyone can touch it. Because I'm a Maharati. Then one is bewildered by illusion, not realizing that actually Krishna was doing everything. Only by Krishna Shakti Vinanai Tarapavartana. Only by Krishna's mercy can we do anything. Can any conditioned soul do anything? We're not doing anything in the material world. You know, generally, we're acting by the mercy of Maya under the illusory energy, being impelled by material desire. But if we're fortunate enough to have the opportunity to somehow or another come under the influence of the internal energy, then the material and the internal energy does the activities, including book distribution or any service we're doing. Therefore, to think we're the doer keeps us in the bodily concept of life, and we realize that actually I'm simply surrendering to Krishna's instructions coming into simple succession, that he wants us to spread Krishna consciousness. He wants us to enlighten others that they're also Krishna's servants and to learn the process of serving Krishna, which is especially found in Srila Prabhupada's books. If we give people that opportunity, and we have that opportunity to come under the internal energy, then gradually our illusions will be dispelled. Chaitasa sarvakarmani maya sanyasya matparaha buddhiyogam upashitya matshitaksatatambhava. And all activities depend upon me, work always under my protection, in such devotional service be fully conscious of it. Matshita sarva dorgani matprasara tarishasi atachatvamahankaram nashoshasi vinangshasi. If you become conscious of me, you'll pass over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. If, however, you work not hearing from me, but act through false ego, then you'll be lost. So we just try to do something for Krishna. That day will be successful. One time I was in Dallas, Texas, where I went from being the temple president, and then I went from the temple president to the treasurer, to the head cook. It was a gradual change of services. But all the time I was the Sankirtan leader. Unfortunately, the Sankirtan devotees gradually diminished, just like the fish in a pond that's drying up. So I was being the treasurer at that time, and being the only book distributor was quite a combination, because my temple president, he was a big spender. He'd spend all the day on the telephone spending the money I was collecting, or others were collecting. But finally, there's me alone, me in Dallas, Texas. And Dallas, Texas, at that time, was not the top book distribution spot in the world. They were in the English language called rednecks. Texas at that time was famous because black people, they used to hang from trees. Like they hang Christmas decorations. So they hang black people from the trees just as a decoration for Texas. And they didn't like the Hare Krishnas any more than the black people. I remember one time, the first time we went out on book distribution in Houston, Texas, they immediately arrested all of us. Put us in jail. And I was chanting Hare Krishna, and the policeman came up to me and said, "Stop that, or I'll hit you with my gun." Nice people. And when we went out for the first time in Dallas, Texas, we were arrested also. And we were charged with impersonating women. Because we were dressed in dhotis. In any case, somehow or another, I dragged myself from my desk where I was a treasurer, and I dragged myself out to downtown Dallas with Back to Godheads, because at that time, that was practically the only book we really had. It was 1971. We didn't even have the Krishna book at that time to distribute. There was just, that was practically the only book. So I went out there, but somehow or another, when I looked around, everyone looked like they came from Vaikuntha. I was in a completely different world. I didn't know how I got there, but I didn't mind being there. And everyone was so friendly, and although I had like maybe 50 Bhakti Godheads, I did them in like an hour or something. Everyone took a Bhakti Godhead and gave a donation. So I was thinking, it's nice to be in Vaikuntha, but it probably won't last very long. Might as well take advantage of it. And then I went back on the bus, because we didn't have any car, and then I was back where my normal state of consciousness was. In other words, we have one conception of what's going on, and the material nature is reciprocating with us. And if we change our conception, or, you know, we don't try and change our conception, we make some sacrifice for spreading Krishna consciousness, although at that time it may seem difficult, but the result is that Krishna reciprocates with our desire to please him. Even it may not be 100% enthusiastic at first. But Krishna sees our sincerity and sees, according to our circumstances, how to reciprocate with us. Some of the nicest experiences I've had, or closest experiences I had to real Krishna consciousness, I've always come trying to make some sacrifice. Prabhupada wrote to me one time, he said he wanted me to open a temple, so my temple president told me to open a temple in Florida. And as it turned out, opening a temple in Florida meant that I was living with one sannyasi and his assistant, and we were living in a park. It was in Florida, but it was during the hurricane season, and we were even living in the park outside during a hurricane, which was quite an experience. And we were only eating because the sannyasi, he decided he wasn't going to spend any money for food. So luckily we had more than grass to eat, but not much more than grass. He gave us two chapatis a day to eat. That was our whole meal for weeks. Two chapatis and a little bit of apple chutney. And we'd sleep in the park, and we'd bathe in the park sink, and we'd cook the chapatis on the park grill. And then we distribute the chapatis to the hippies who came around after we had a little kirtan. And then we got on book distribution for the rest of the day. And we came back, and our meal was two chapatis a day. But Krishna reciprocated. I mean, besides sending us someplace else, but we got more than two chapatis a day. But Krishna actually showed us some mercy. Similarly, other times, I remember one time I was sent to the Philippines during the rainy season. So I didn't want to go, but I forced my mind, controlled my mind, and I said, I'll go just to please Krishna and his devotees. And then Krishna reciprocated because of that desire. So Krishna will reciprocate. Of course, we're not asked like Dhruva Maharaj to go into the forest. He had less than two chapatis a day. He had one breath of air every 12 days, and then finally he stopped breathing. He didn't even get a breath of air. So we're only asked to do a little something. It's a little austerity. And if we do that, then Krishna will reciprocate according to our desire to serve him. At least, if we want to distribute a book, Krishna will give us the intelligence. We have to do it enthusiastically if we really want to distribute a book. We should do it with some confidence and with some patience. Not that everyone who doesn't stop and take a book, we get angry, call him out, you rascal, you're going to hell, you're offending a great devotee, me. No, we have to be patient, smile at people, just like Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. They went door to door. It's not that everyone greeted them, even though he's God. He's the first expansion of God. You'd think people would show him a little respect. But no, they'd say that, who are these Lord Nityananda, Haridas Thakur? They go door to door on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order and say, Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Koro Krishna Shika. And some people, they said, oh, these are very pious people asking us to chant Krishna's name, to worship Krishna, follow Krishna's instructions. And said, yes, we'll do it. And other people say, who are these rascals? Why are they coming here to our door? Maybe they're rogues and thieves and dacoits. They're simply trying to look into our houses to see what to steal. Call the police on them. If they come here again, we're going to beat them with a stick. So this is God himself, Lord Nityananda. So did he become disturbed, thinking, how dare you insult God? No, he'd smile, they'd smile and laugh and giggle and then just go to the next door, repeat Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message. So we have to follow Lord Nityananda, Haridas Thakur, not expect that everyone's going to receive our message with the greatest enthusiasm, the message of Lord Chaitanya, but we do it enthusiastically, not really disturbed. In other words, if we're actually joyful, enthusiastic, or at least determined, then the result is that we won't be disturbed by whatever success or failure we have. Of course, if there's success, usually the devotee becomes more and more elated in Krishna consciousness. And if people don't take, then one becomes even more determined. Enthusiasm, confidence. Of course, if we're confident, then we go out to people with confidence. Not, oh, here's a book. Oh, please take it. Why should I take it? Well, because if I don't distribute any books, people won't appreciate me back at the temple. So you should take it to help me out. I need some prestige. Well, what's in the book? I don't know. I never read this book myself. They never told me to read it. They just told me to distribute it. Some philosophy from India, I don't know. No, we have to be enthusiastic, you know, and say, oh, please take the book. I feel so bad. Please take it. Help me out. No, here, take a book. It's great. We have to be confident, enthusiastic, and patient. Then the result is that we'll actually become Krishna conscious. If we're Krishna conscious, then obviously we'd be enthusiastic and we'd be determined and patient. And if we're not Krishna conscious, then at least we should become enthusiastic to become Krishna conscious and determined to become Krishna conscious and patient to become Krishna conscious. After all, we're all eternal. Therefore, we have a long time to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya. And even if someone doesn't take today, someone will probably take tomorrow. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will send someone, somehow or another, sometime, to take one of these books. Because he himself has said, Yari de, Prithivi Yatigra, Prithivi di Yache Adigrati Gram, that in every town and village they'll be chanting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name, including in Maastricht. Maastricht is a village too, I guess. A town and village, Maastricht, and even in Septon, Dubuy. They'll be chanting Krishna's name. So that means that some people will take these books and some people will read them. Some people will actually start to chant Hare Krishna. And we can simply be an instrument for it. If we want to be an enthusiastic instrument, a determined instrument, then Krishna will send us many souls to take books from us. And if we really don't want to be so much of an instrument, then Krishna will send less people to take books from us. But in any case, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna will arrange everything according to our desire. If we have an intense desire, then he'll help us become an instrument so that he'll be able to work through us and help many living entities, souls, come back to him. And if we're not so enthusiastic to become an instrument for him, then some of them will come. So we can become an instrument enough to help the most enthusiastic, or to help those that Krishna sends us take one of these books and begin their progress of going back to the spiritual world. So, I'll stop there. Any questions? Yes. Well, that's up to Krishna. But we all have these tests that come at us. Sometimes they're a little stronger, sometimes a little less strong. But there's always some test. So we should recognize it and then chant Hare Krishna. Not to think, oh, now the mental block comes, now I stop. No, we go on chanting. And if Krishna wants, he'll take the block away. If he doesn't, then it won't go away. But we just keep on chanting. And if we remember, we just try to remain in Krishna consciousness, then gradually these things will go away. But of course, it's not that only on book distribution we should become an instrument, and the rest of the time we're just a normal, everyday, conditioned soul. If we try to become an instrument throughout the day, throughout the weeks and the years, then when we get an opportunity to preach, then we'll be a better instrument. So it's not that we simply, once a week, we become an instrument and the rest of the time we're whoever we would want to be. No, we have to continuously try to become an instrument. And then the result is, just like if you put an iron in the fire, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and eventually becomes like the fire. So we keep ourselves in the fire of Krishna consciousness. Then when we do get an opportunity to preach or something similar, then that will still be in the fire, or even more in the fire. Yes. With a little bit of apple chutney. Well, I didn't really want to just eat two chapatis, but whatever money we collected, we gave to who supposedly was our leader, and he determined how many chapatis we got. Well, he didn't have any money to go anywhere else. Well, at that time, we were quite innocent. This was just at the beginning. We didn't know, there was no standard, so to speak. We didn't hear any stories of anyone who wasn't surrendered. Practically everyone had this idea that you just did what your leader told you. And besides the fact, Prabhupada asked me to become the temple president there. So although we had no temple, I was so much absorbed in the idea that I'd be the temple president, it didn't really matter to me that I'd become a controller here. Because at that time, temple president was a big position in ISKCON. Anyhow, I didn't know very much. We had no choice. And somehow or another, that's what we did. And if you eat two chapatis after a little while, and a little apple chutney, you just get used to it. We hardly even noticed it. Of course, later on, RIGBC at that time, when they finally had a GBC, he told me to hitchhike and join Vishnu John Maharaj in Houston, Texas, with Srinath, his servant. So that particular sannyasi, he gave me, I said, can you give me something to eat on the way? Because it would take a few days to get there by hitchhiking. So he said, yes. So he took me to the store and bought me 1/4 pound of fried chickpeas. And the man at the store must have felt sorry for me because he gave me two free date balls to take with me. So that's what I ate. I didn't even eat them. I ate the 2 date balls immediately. And I wouldn't even look at the fried chickpeas. They didn't look very good. Anyhow, finally I arrived in Houston, Texas, and I couldn't find the devotees because we had no idea where they were. So then I got a little frustrated and I ate the 1/4 pound of fried chickpeas. But that's what you got used to. Finally, I found Srinath and Vishnu John Maharaj, who were living in a little garage apartment. And I sat down, they gave me a plate with 6 chapatis on it. So I thought, well, this is for 2 for Vishnu John Maharaj, 2 for Srinath, and 2 for me. Because I got so much used to it. But they told me, no, you can eat all 6. It's all right. Don't worry about it. So I was used to eating 2 chapatis. I thought 6, well, that's really too much. Of course, I ate 6 immediately. I was really hungry for 3 days of... A lot of strange things. I mean, Vishnu John Maharaj, he had this idea of how we were going to distribute prasad at the park. It was at Hyde Park. I forget the name of the park. People's Park or something in Houston, Texas. So he didn't want to buy plates. So we made these enormous chapatis, and then we take a little bit of the feast and we put them into the different parts of the chapati and then roll them up like it was a plate or something, and then distribute the chapati to people with the big different little bits of the different preparations in it. Anyhow, we didn't really know very much back then. Vishnu John Maharaj was quite a personality. His favorite prasad was strawberry Simply Wonderfuls. So he used to make them. We used to go on the campus, and he'd eat them on the way. So when we finally got to the campus, there were no Simply Wonderfuls left to distribute. But he'd sit down and he'd sing, and he was such an attractive singer, like dozens and dozens, sometimes 100 students would just come around just listen to him singing. They wouldn't get any Simply Wonderful, so. He did make very good strawberry Simply Wonderfuls. Anything else? Yes. Yeah. No, that was in Houston. In Philippines. The Philippines? Oh, anyhow, with these so many varieties of experience. But anyhow, Krishna gave me some transcendental experiences there. But Krishna reciprocates. He's not a dead stone. He, according to our sincerity, then he'll reciprocate. And sometimes that sincerity will only manifest itself when we're put into some difficulty. That's like Prahlad Maharaj. Unless he was put into all those difficulties, he wouldn't be in the Bhagavatam. If Prahlad Maharaj, you know, his story was, he learned about Krishna in the womb, but he decided he wouldn't tell his father anything. So his father gave him the kingdom, got a nice wife, grew up and died. He wouldn't be in the Bhagavatam. Not because he challenged his father and his father tortured him. Therefore, he's put in all these difficulties and he remained happily engaged in Krishna consciousness in spite of all the problems he went through. Therefore, he's in the Bhagavatam. So we had a nice, peaceful life in Krishna consciousness with no any challenge. And then why will Krishna reciprocate with us? How will we manifest our desire to please him? So sometimes by putting ourselves under the proper circumstances, in a circumstance to actually distribute Krishna consciousness, then Krishna will reciprocate with us. We're actually sincerely trying to do it. Not that we think, well, I should put myself into a problem, so I'll stand on the top of the roof on one leg and chant Hare Krishna, and certainly Krishna will reciprocate with me as I'm falling down from the roof. I mean, that's in the mode of ignorance. We should do something that Krishna wants us to do, and we should do it sincerely to try and please him, and then Krishna will reciprocate. And how do we know what Krishna wants us to do? Well, we know from his devotees. Generally, his devotees are empowered. Not only our initiating guru, but any devotee we're trying to please, following their instructions. Whether it's the temple president, or the temple commander, or even the pot washer, or anyone. We do something to please them, Krishna will reciprocate. He's pleased when we're trying to follow the instructions of his devotees. Of course, his devotees should tell us something which is actually in Krishna consciousness. Not that, you know, my best friend, the devotee, says, if you really want to please me for my birthday, let's go to a bar, a pub. You think, well, to please a devotee, I'll do anything. No, we should do something which will actually please Krishna, and the devotees will inform us how they believe Krishna wants us to what service they want to, Krishna is giving us through them. And if we do that, then Krishna will be very pleased. And then he'll reciprocate accordingly. Anything else? Yes. Bridges. Brooklyn Bridge or Manhattan Bridge. Well, that may work, but ultimately the success will be if we give them some actual transcendental literature. And since Prabhupada is an actual self-realized soul, it would be very difficult to find other similar literatures of self-realized souls who are systematically explaining the process of becoming Krishna consciousness. Of course, if we want to distribute books, we can buy a collection of Playboy magazines and we'll distribute a lot of them very easily. If the whole idea was to distribute books, you know, there are many books we can distribute quite easily. But that will not help people so much to become Krishna conscious. So if the whole idea was to distribute as many books as possible, that would be one thing. But our idea is to help people become Krishna conscious, not to distribute books. So we may distribute less of Prabhupada's books, but that's usually just due to our lack of enthusiasm. I mean, devotees have distributed, just purely due to enthusiasm, 1,000 books at a day, big books. I mean, Ram Vijay one time in Paris distributed 1,000 big books in one day, big books. Of course, I asked him one time, I was in Paris trying to just, I said, how do you distribute here? I could never distribute to the French people. I was in the airports, I always found it very hard. So he told me his technique. The technique in France is that the men only distribute to the women and the women only distribute to the men. But anyhow, to distribute 1,000 books requires a certain amount of potency to do that, even if it's to the ladies if you're a man or to the men if you're a lady. Still, you have to be empowered. But just due to that enthusiasm to do it, they were able to do it. One time I was at a fair. We were able to do the fairs back then. and I ran out of books. So the devotees at the fair, we picked up leaves that fell from the trees and ran up to people and told them they were magic leaves. And if you put them in the water in 2 weeks, it would sprout into a tree. And we told people with such enthusiasm, they actually bought the leaves, $5 a piece. Luckily, we didn't stay there more than 2 weeks, so... After they put them into the water, I don't think any of them sprouted into trees. Anyhow, if you're enthusiastic, then people will practically take anything. And if you're convinced, oh, Prabhupada's books, you know, no one wants to read them, and they're too difficult to read, I can't read them, I need these bridge books, etc. Well, then, if you're in that mood, then obviously you'll be more enthusiastic to distribute them. When people get a book, what do they know what's in the book? They have no idea. It's all according to our enthusiasm. But no one can explain, as with such conviction and enthusiasm, that we're not this body and that Krishna is God as well as Prabhupada could. And if people hear those two ideas, because there are other things like van ashram, whatever, but especially those two main ideas, that we're spiritual beings, eternally servants of Krishna, and Krishna is the unlimited, attractive, supreme person, then the more enthusiastic, the more convinced, the more depth of knowledge one has in that subject matter, the more people will be benefited. And other things are not very important, really, ultimately. However, flowery, Yadvachas Chitvita Padam Hariyarya Show, Jagat Paritam Paragriha Bukhari Chit, Tibhaya Samtirdum of Santi Manasa, Diyatrahangsa Nirishanti Shikshaya. So there may be books, they may be nice, they may be beneficial, but there's no books that have such conviction and such information. Depth of information about Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Prabhupada's books have. Because Prabhupada knew Krishna personally. We just, more or less, we know him to some degree personally and to a large degree theoretically. And what do you think Krishna, how does he look at it? Does he think, oh, yes, better off not to distribute this old man from Bengal his books? We need some new books, more interesting books. These just talk about me. Why should people waste their time hearing about me? We want to please Krishna, obviously. We better stick mostly with distributing Prabhupada's books. Anything else? Yes. Well, I don't know if there's so much enthusiasm. I mean, there were problems when I joined. People didn't know anything. I mean, we have no idea how much we've gained since that time. When I joined, we had no Mangal Aarti because we didn't have any Aartis. I was a head pujari. I didn't even know who the deities were. We had no idea what cleanliness was, hardly. We had, you know, we chanted 16 rounds of japa. And we knew something about offering the food to Krishna, but besides that, we had no books. When I joined, there was no Bhagavad Gita. There was probably originally 3 Srimad Bhagavatams, but they weren't easy to read. And that was it. The devotees didn't know how to cook. They didn't know anything, hardly. But to speak of getting along with each other, it wasn't that everyone was always blissful. We had no idea even, you know, what the philosophy was, even how to get along. And it wasn't that everyone was enthusiastic. When I tried to, I was the Sankirtan leader when I joined after some time, but it's not everyone wanted to go on book distribution. We go on Harinam 8 hours a day because we had nothing else to do. But it wasn't that everyone wanted to do it. They had no choice. That's the only thing we knew. But there was a certain amount of faith in Prabhupada and the mission, and therefore they were able to do things. Put themselves into, when, you know, when we were asked to do something, we had no, we didn't know you weren't supposed to do it. You didn't have to do it. We didn't know you had a choice. So most of the time people did it. And if they didn't do it, then they just disappeared. When people blooped, they really blooped. But nowadays, when people bloop, they don't really bloop so much. They hang around because they think, you know, it doesn't really matter. You're a devotee, you're following because you're a fanatic, and I'm also a devotee. But I don't follow because I'm such, not such a fanatic. But previously, either you're in or you're out. If someone broke the regular principles or they didn't want to do service, then they just disappeared. No one knew anything where they went. They just, that's why we call it a bloop. They just fell into the material ocean. And that was the end of it. So you didn't have, you know, people, either you were convinced and determined and enthusiastic, or you disappeared. But now it's a little different. Now you can be any shade. You know, and therefore sometimes it appears that, you know, the devotees are not as enthusiastic. No, those who are less enthusiastic, they still stay around for some time. But there are still enthusiastic devotees. And back then, when you think about how many devotees there were, when I joined, their first Vyas Pooj book, there were like 50 devotees in the book. That was the sum total of the whole movement. So if there are 10 enthusiastic devotees, I'm sure there are more than 10 now. So we can't say there are more enthusiastic devotees, less enthusiastic devotees now. There are at least 10 enthusiastic devotees in the whole movement. Anything else? Thank you very much. Sankirtan Jaga Ki Jai, Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Haribol.